First Peter chapter 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 15. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting the away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. May the name of the Lord is glorified. Let's all bow our hearts and pray. Our Lord, our Savior, our King, the Lord of my life, the King of my life, and Lord, we stand in thy presence, O Lord, to be touched by your Spirit, to be touched by your garment, to be touched by your mighty hand, to be examined by the Spirit. For there is none who can escape from the eyes of the Spirit. There is no valley that can hide us from the eyes of God. And there is no mountain that can exalt us before and above that the Lord had purposed for us. And Lord, we pray that you be with us today and walk in the midst of us and sit in the throne of our heart. If there is anything that is not pleasing to thee, Lord, we pray, forgive us, Lord, for all the shortcomings, for all the things that was said and done. Lord, together as one family of God, we ask for thy washing. We ask for thy restoring. We ask for thy renewing. Because, O Lord, when you touch, all the world things are erased from our life, erased from our mind. And the new things, the times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. And Lord, today, as a congregation of the Lord, we invite the times of refreshing. We invite the seasons of refreshing. We invite the season of preparation for us to prepare our hearts, prepare ourselves, prepare as brothers and sisters in Christ, prepare as brethren, prepare as servants of God, prepare as children of God, prepare as laborers in the field, prepare us, O Lord, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the vessels of the Lord in his house. And Lord, we pray, prepare all of us today in the word, by the word, through the word, for the word, Jesus Christ. We surrender everything at thy feet. In Jesus' name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. May be all seated. We thank the Lord for everything. Past few months, the Lord has blessed us immensely by sending his servants by blessing us to receive the word, to receive the fellowship, to receive the desire of those vessels for the family of God that is in us, in this land. Every time an Apostle Paul traveled to other places, there was a waiting period for him to see them again, maybe a few years, 2 years, 3 years. And when he write a letter to them, or when he go and visit them, he would come with 3 years of longing, 3 years of waiting, 3 years of desire, 3 years of prayers, 3 years of love. And when that outpouring happens, you see nothing but the agape love of God from far away that is revealed to us through His children, through His vessels, through His seeds, to tell all of us there is only one nation, the holy nation, and there is only one kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and there is only one king, and there is only one house, and we all have only one blood. So we thank the Lord for sending Shadrach, Radabayo, and all the brethren who join us on Friday fellowship from different parts of the world. Brother Imad, Brother J.P. Rohana, Brother Elijaba, Sister Greta, Brother Jan. Every one of them, those who are far away, Sister Chantana, Sister Chia. So many names that tells all of us, how come the separation doesn't look as separation? How come the distance between one land to another land doesn't make sense? It doesn't feel that there is a distance. We truly thank the Lord for helping us to experience when Nehemiah was building the wall. There were builders of the wall carrying weapon in one hand and doing the work in another hand, spiritually, for us to understand that we are called to balance our defense, to hold on to our faith, to live a life that is worthy of His calling. At the same time, we keep doing the work of the Lord without compromising, without delaying, without hesitating, without unbelief. The work of the Lord comes as the preeminence, because the Lord has preeminence in our life. Everything else, He will give you the strength to fight, to overcome. So the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, all things in heaven, all things in the earth, everything subject to Him, bow to Him, because there is only one who can say, I do have the power and dominions and authority, only one, and there is none. No one else can even claim a bit of it. As much as He has given us the grace to serve Him, He did not give us a room for disobedience to claim His power and dominion. The only power that we have is the Comforter. When the Comforter has come upon you, we shall have the power to be a witness unto Him. That is the fruit of the power. To be a witness, not to showcase the division of Red Sea, or opening the earth, not to showcase so many things that can shake the earth and bring the attention of people. That is not the true power. It is even more dangerous, actually. It can bring you the heart of pride. Power to live and die as the witness of Jesus Christ is the greatest power any man or any woman can have. Why? The world will come against that power, and we shall overcome everything by being part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, which means we ought to do what He did. We ought to overcome the way He overcame. So, by the grace of God, today we will reflect. If the Lord blessed us to be united, irrespective of culture, languages, countries, nations, territories, so many things are trying to draw the line to keep the children of God to be in clusters, in silos, in prisons. But the Lord is erasing every single line so that there is only two lines that people can see. The limit, the bounds of the narrow path. right side, don't cross a line on the right. Do not cross a line on the left. So that narrow path will become one single straight line. Everything else is a puzzle, is a maze for to confuse the people of God, to scatter the people of God, and to keep them separated, and to keep them in a place that they cannot realize the fullest potential of the power of being a witness to God. So by the grace of God, the sermon series on true repentance is a mirror for all of us. Like how all the servants of God, they write, right? Whatever the Lord spoke to them, they write with their hand, with a pen or pencil, from the ink of their lap, they write, Lord spoke to me this, Lord teaching me this, so that you can have your personal love letter with your groom. But when that happens, the whole scripture will take a form of a mirror, and when you see that, you only see three words: I was wrong. That is the most subtle, deceptive challenge that we must overcome. Do we have the mirror in our life which is called I was wrong? If we do not have the mirror and we replace it with God is right, of course He's always right. He's always right. We can always find a way to escape. God is right. God is good. God is right. God is good. God is merciful. God is kind. God is almighty. That mirror will make you to feel encouraged, will make you to feel happy, but it will not make you to feel what you are supposed to feel. And what is the feeling? Not emotions. It's called realization. Self-realization. Before the Spirit examine our heart, the Lord said, examine yourself. We can say that, Lord, you created me. You can do the job. But the Lord said, examine yourself. We can say, Lord, you made me. You deny myself on behalf of myself. But the Lord said, deny yourself. When the Lord said, I have created you in my image, in my likeness, He means what He said. Amen? He don't say anything that He doesn't mean. So by God's grace, when I look back my life, the life of my loved ones, the experience of witnessing people who died in front of my eyes, friends whom I lost in a lot of different disasters, tragic death, the question in my heart before the Lord touched me was, what is this life? Where is justice in this life? Where is justice in this life? Newborns die. People who are truly good, they are simply taken. What's happening? Is it a simple playground where there are no rules? Anyone can be taken or anyone can be overcome by anyone? What kind of world it is? That was the frustration, agony, anger, all at once, pain, depression. That too, I was 14. Couldn't think much, no wisdom. Just a boy. But it took a long time to understand the refining process. That when the Lord said, I have created you in my image, in my likeness. If we do not understand what He literally means to tell all of us, and He tells us, examine yourself. He tells us, deny yourself. He tells us, you should do something by yourself. Don't wait for me, because it is not my job to do. It is your job to do. When you do so, then I will take the rest. I will take the rest of it. So, as we hustle between life and death every single day, every second, 6 to 8 people die, and 4 to 5 people are born. The stats will keep on changing, because they are changing, they are trying to control. We are living in such a world of uncertainty, filled with uncertainty, and yet the Lord is calling all of us, can you serve me? It's very irony, right? Lord, I can serve you, but give me the right platform, give me the right tools, prepare everything for me, then I can come and serve you. But who are we to set the demands for Him? Who are we to tell the Lord, these are requirements for you to receive my service? Who am I? Who are we? So there is something that we have to reflect upon our life, so that we can understand what the Lord wants us to receive in our life first. and what the Lord wants us to do in our life, second. And if He is the life, then what is life? Until the day I realized that the true life is Jesus Christ, my mind was, you know, fighting a battle. What is life? What is life? When the Lord revealed Himself to me, I am the life, then everything else makes sense. Everything else that is confounding us, that is confusing us, that is tormenting us, it is not real. It's all vanity. Like a flesh that lives through the dream, which doesn't stand forever. If He is real, my God is real, Jesus Christ is the true life, true light, true way, and the truth, then that makes sense. Everything else is not real. And the Lord said, set your eyes on Me, because whatever you see is not real. It's nothing but a mirage. Like a water that you see in the wilderness, you chase after chase after chase all your life, then you realize that it's an illusion. It's not real. The sickness is an illusion. When He comes, He will transform you. It's not going to stay. The death is also an illusion. When He comes, everyone will be resurrected. Then it's not real. So what is real? What is real, my brethren? Whatever that stands throughout time is real. And there is nothing can stand throughout time except His word and He Himself. Which means everything else that can be erased, that can be changed, that can be regenerated, cannot be real. So today, by God's grace, I want all of us to prepare our hearts. To prepare our hearts. To build a mirror together in the name of Jesus Christ. A beautiful mirror. And you will keep that mirror in your house spiritually, in Jesus' name I ask. And that mirror will be your self-examining mirror, your self-denial mirror, and your mirror that is between you and you. And that mirror, we will call it as I was wrong. Because it's a very negative name. You may think, this man always comes to the pulpit, hits at sensitive words. Please don't forgive me. Let every man be a liar. The scripture tells all of us what we should speak. In the times of everything comes to an end, if I am the Sarah leaving my tent every day, go out to bring vegetables, to fruits or whatever, and comes back to tent, prepare food for Abraham, prepare food for my son, Isaac. And every time I go, I have to go and check whether do I look like a proper, modest, humble woman, because I represent Abraham, I represent Isaac, and I go out. But that mirror, my dear brethren, from today, by the grace of God, we will have in our house. I was wrong. You will be surprised. The Lord will show things in excellent way when you take the stance of I was wrong. The three words that are used extremely common in the whole world is I love you. Now, there are so many bad words are trying to overcome. But don't worry, it will stay forever. I love you. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But for examining, if we use the word I love Jesus, it's not going to help us for self-examining. We will find a way to escape. Hey, Jesus loves me. Of course the Lord loves you. Nobody is denying that. God is right. Of course He is right. He don't need our certificate. But I was wrong. I need the certificate to myself. It's just between you and you. A contention, a self-examining process, contending with myself, because I am the path of the word. The Lord had purposed everything in His heart. He counseled everything before He spoke the word. Then who was giving Him counsel? God was asking Job, who was that to give me advice? And I laid the foundation. He was counseling with Himself. If you were created in His image, in His likeness, have you ever used the power of self-counseling? That needs a mirror in the house. Every important decision that we made in our life, physically, spiritually, mentally, whatever, that derailed the course of your journey, that made you to face an accident, that shook your life. Take a stance. Use the perspective. What if I was wrong? The enemy would try his best, would come and scream in your ears, so that you won't hear that whispering voice, small, still voice. Test yourself with the word, I was wrong.
But the enemy will scream, no, 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 he was wrong, she was wrong. Everything came against you. You were just suffering. You were a righteous man. The Lord was going through some sufferings for you. You were a righteous woman. The Lord was allowing some trials on you. You have to endure. You have to endure. It is true. We must embrace the fellowship of his sufferings. But that is a thin line. Facing consequence of my life is not embracing the fellowship of his sufferings. It is day and night. Two different things. But the enemy would erase the line and would make us to bring it together. It's a sin. It's not a sin. It's not a sin. When we build that mirror, as we build our faith, as we build on upon things the Lord has given us, that mirror will help us for the bride to prepare herself to be ready. For the bride to deck herself ready. Herself, myself. Because I got to do myself. It's just between me and the Lord. So now let's turn our Bibles and start from Apostle Paul. We will walk to Jesus Christ. Amen. We will walk from Apostle Paul to Jesus Christ. So, Book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 16. Let's revisit what Apostle Paul said. Let's learn from the apostolic ministry of Apostle Paul, because we are all called to live in apostolic faith and do what is needed to be part of that apostolic ministry. Amen. 24 verse 16. He says, and herein do I exercise myself. Who? Apostle Paul, who received the Holy Ghost, who received the power to be a witness, to be a servant, to be a vessel, to be an apostle. He says, I got to exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I'm glad what Brother Ringfon was reading today, the verse, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. I was about to read the verse today. Since he read, now I'm glad that it was read to all of us. Apostle Paul says, I have the responsibility to exercise myself, which means to check myself, to examine myself, to correct what I need to do before the Lord makes his correction, pruning me, washing me, strengthening me, molding me as a potter, as a gardener. Apostle Paul says, I am God's creation. The Lord has given me certain attributes so that the word free will can mean something. Because the word free will should mean something. Because God has given us. It's free will. So now, Apostle Paul says, I am called to serve God's people. I am called by God. And God cannot be separated from his people because he is in them. They are his tabernacle. So, every service that we offer to God, we stand in the same ground as Apostle Paul. Every one of us. It can be a song. It can be a prayer. It can be a testimony. It can be a sermon. It can be anything that we do for the Lord, in the Lord, through the Lord, and by the Lord, in his house. We stand in the same ground as Apostle Paul, toward God and toward men. And when Peter blessed the people to be baptized, 3,000 and 5,000, he told them, men and brethren. Amen. So now, This verse has been with us for the last two Sundays in the two different topics of the sermon. The power of reconciliation. I will cleanse the blood that I have not cleansed. Last two topics of the two Sunday series. So now from here we will continue how Apostle Paul reflected this verse in his life. Because if he has said that, he must have lived. That is the definition of God's servant. They don't simply speak, they live. We are not called to give some lip service, no, like mouth service, that we say, but when the Lord looks into our life, it's nothing but empty. No. Apostle Paul do what he say, because he's God's servant. So let's turn our Bibles to look at what Apostle Paul did and how he did. And we turn to the next chapter, Book of Acts, chapter 25, verse 8. So we will go through the series of verses concerning Apostle Paul, then we come to Jesus Christ, the fountain of life, the one who changed Apostle Paul. Amen. chapter 25, verse 8. I will read from verse 7. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Because if it is not truth, it cannot be proved. And Jesus said, they hated me without a cause, without a proof. Because in God's sight, the only proof that can be accepted is truth. Truth, nothing but the whole truth. Not half truth, not extra truth, whole truth. So Apostle Paul was cornered, attacked, grievous complaints. But they could not prove it because there is no truth about it. And verse 8, while he answered for himself, now, herein do I exercise myself. Now, Apostle Paul, he answered for himself. Neither against the law of the Jews, law, number one. Neither against the temple, temple, number two. Nor yet against the Caesar, the one who was in power at that point of time, the land where he is standing. Have I offended anything at all? So Apostle Paul makes a declaration. One chapter before, I just said, I do exercise myself to make sure I have a good conscience. It is clear of void of offense toward God and toward men. Because God sent him to serve people. Not to curse people, not to destroy people. Not to hurt people, not to blame people, not to criticize people, no. Apostle Paul knows the job is to live and to serve and to be killed for the people. But at the same time, he is called to speak the truth. And that balance, no flesh can maintain other than the Holy Ghost. There is no man, no power in the world which can tame the tongue that we have. There is only one who can do that, who can tame it by circumcising your heart. When God, by His Spirit, circumcises your heart, the scripture comes to fulfillment, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaketh, but the Lord does not work in your mouth. He works in your heart. You know what? He hit the root of the tree. He don't go and repair the branch. He hit the root. Last Sunday, we read the verse, an axe is laid at the root of the tree. Why? The Lord says, I will look at the root. If it is not me, I will cut it off. If you are mine, I will give you a new heart. New root. New heart, new root. And now Apostle Paul, he knows that his heart must be filled with the Holy Ghost to be able to answer. And how we started the sermon? 1 Peter chapter 3. Be ready always in good conscience to answer to every man. Jesus Christ was ready to answer the questions on Calvary. But before that, he went to Garden of Gethsemane to prepare himself. Before he started his ministry, he went to wilderness to prepare himself. 40 days of fasting and temptation, he overcome. Then the ministry was given. He finished the ministry. He went to Garden of Gethsemane. He overcome his will. Then the Calvary was given. He went to Calvary, bear the cross. He could not. He shared the burden with some flesh. To show us that this ministry of reconciliation will not be completed without his children. And he endured the cross for the salvation of all of us. And he finished the job. And he said, it is finished. He was keep on uttering, acknowledging, speaking every time something was done. Because he is called the Word of God. He has been sent as the voice of God. For us to receive the complete manifestation of God, so that we can grow and attain the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So he speaks. If he don't speak, my brethren, there is no life. If Jesus Christ chose to keep silence, we will remain walking dead. If we choose to keep silence, remain silent, those who are walking dead will continue walking dead. The Lord will save them somehow through some of his vessel, because whatever that he promised, he would fulfill. But the Lord has given us a privilege. You can be part of that promise. Now, the question is, we can take it or we can drop it. We can turn back and take it, or we can turn aside and just ignore it. Herein do I exercise myself. Now, Apostle Paul speaks for himself. How we speak? I did not do anything to cause any offense to the law that you believe, to the faith that we have, number one. To the temple where you dwell, the temple of the Holy Ghost. The temple of the Lord, where the congregation of the Lord gathered, number two. Three, Caesar, the man who is in charge, to whom the power and authority was given. And Peter, Apostle Paul, Apostle John, all the servants of God, they reflected the heavenly order in the earthly order. So what Apostle Paul spoke was in the earthly realm. You flip it on the heavenly realm. So how do you say? I did not do anything that caused offense the faith of my dear brethren who are seated in the heavenly places. I did not do anything that caused offense to the temple that is filled with the heavenly glory of the Lord Almighty, temple, and Caesar. If Caesar was the ruler of the land, the earthly land that was persecuting Christ, then who is the ruler of the heavenly land, the new city, Holy Jerusalem, that will protect and shield and celebrate the church? Jesus Christ. He is the king. He is the ruler. He is the general. He is the righteous judge. He is the high priest. He is the warrior. He is the soldier. He is everything. So Apostle Paul did not just play jokes. He means what he said. Herein do I exercise myself. And for that reason, he always had a thorn in the flesh. I was wrong. I was wrong. Oh, you are admiring me for so much revelation that I passed it to you. I was wrong. I was standing witnessing my friend Stephen getting killed in front of me. I was wrong. I persecuted the church before the Lord called me to his marvelous light. I was wrong. If Apostle Paul chose not to remain humble, my dear brethren, it goes all the way back to Moses. In the physical Exodus, Moses, the people of leader of Israel, was leading multitudes of people from Egypt to the promised land. But he did not enter the promised land physically. In the spiritual Exodus, Apostle Paul, he led all the Gentiles to the promised land, pointing to the promised land. But yet he created the door by the God's grace that opened the seven churches, first, second, all the way to seven, for Joshua to come, for Yeshua to come and to take the bride to cross the river of Jordan. So that leader of Israel in the Old Testament, the Lord said, there is no one who is humble than my servant Moses. God spoke that word to Miriam. Who is Miriam? What is the type of Miriam? Why the Lord used a woman to represent? Why the book of Revelation uses a woman, a great whore of Babylon? Why woman? Why the bride, another represents a woman? And why we are all compared to wise virgin, foolish virgin? So now let's remember. On one side, the leader of Israel was acknowledged, appreciated, blessed, prophesied by God. There is no one who is humble than Moses at that point of time. Amen? And when Apostle Paul was called to serve the Lord, and God told Ananias, this man will suffer for my namesake, and you just go and anoint him. God was taking the assurance for his seed. God was speaking in confidence for his vessel even before it was done. God, not the vessel, not the man. There was one who announced Apostle Paul. No man, God himself. There was one who announced Moses. No man, God himself. But when he said that, he was using the word humbleness and he will suffer for my namesake. Moses had the same experience. Suffer for his namesake. Apostle Paul had the same experience. Suffer for the namesake. But the enemy knows, oh, this is the rule. Suffer for the namesake. Then he will use the same word and will twist every one of God's children. You are suffering for God's namesake. You have to endure the suffering. It's okay. Just endure until the last day. But the truth is, did the Lord reveal to us, is it the suffering of his namesake or is it the suffering of my namesake? Because there are two names, right? There are two names. There is a name that is written on the forehead for God's children. And that is a name that we call ourselves in this earth. And Apostle Paul says, it is Christ in me, I don't see myself. Amen? So now, he is talking about three things. Law, temple, and the one who ruled the place in the physical realm. So now let's go down. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. Let's understand from the life of God's servant, not just the words of God's servant. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. I should read from verse 5. Verse 5, yes. For I suppose I was not a bit behind the very chiefest apostles, be though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And then was I present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. This is not the boasting that we see in the flesh. What Apostle Paul says is, I do have a confidence in the Lord who is in me. I am going to serve him with all I have got. And when I do so, people may think, why are you so confident about yourself? But Apostle Paul says, no. It's not me. God has spoken to me and he will get it done and I will press on. And that press on will be seen as something, the children of God boasting in the world. Oh, this guy, he has sickness. No joy. Everything was taken from him. The family is broken, but still he is rejoicing. So selfish. It's not selfish. Apostle Paul says, I am boasting in the glory of the Lord that is given to me to give the same glory of the Lord to the people who do not have it. I must press on with joy. Because if there is no joy, Apostle Paul cannot take one step forward. Because he is walking on his own Calvary. I shall endure this cross for the joy that was set before me. The salvation of people is the only joy any child of God, any servant of God, any minister of God, any church of God should have. Salvation of people, nothing else. What is the benefit of us doing 1,000 services to the Lord, but not one soul saved? We could be the one who was crucified next to Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me in the paradise. The Lord said, come, let's go home. No time wasted. Grace period was given, it was used, he was taken. But if the grace period was given before I drew my last breath, I could waste my grace. We all could waste our grace. And how Apostle Paul speaking, did I say something, did I do something that is compromising the service of God in me to you? Amen? The service of God in me to you, because Apostle Paul says, I'm a servant, because my Jesus washed your feet, I'm called to wash your feet. Now he is continuing in what he said. Let's go to book of 1 Corinthians, same book, chapter 11, verse 27. Chapter 11, verse 27. Now we are studying the life of Apostle Paul, so that we can learn from where he got all of this. Apostle Paul, tell us the secret from where you learned all of this. He was not learning, my brethren. He was conforming. He was showing all of us he's conforming to the image of Christ. Verse 27, chapter 11, book of 2 Corinthians, it says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, because Jesus Christ called us to have the desire, to have the courage to deny ourselves, to carry the cross and follow him daily. Amen. It's a daily work. daily. And he said, cometh upon me daily the care of all the churches. Can you imagine the burden that was placed upon the Apostle Paul? He says, that was coming upon me every day, the care about all the churches. Without burden, how can an apostolic faith will manifest? Without the burden, how can an apostolic church will function? The Lord showed examples. We will go there. But Apostle Paul said, every day this burden was placed on me. But every day we want the burdens to be lifted. But Apostle Paul says, every day this was placed on me. So, which means, the sun should not go out before I make my heart right with the Lord and make sure that I carry the burden for that day, and those burdens are lifted from my shoulder on that day, and I go and rest physically, spiritually, mentally, then I wake up the next day and be prepared for what? For new burdens. Isaac cannot climb the mountain without the woods on his shoulder. No burden, no church. No burden, no service. Godly burdens. But the enemy would also want to deceive us by placing some burden that are not godly, that are not pleasing, but it would be kind of stitched to the shoulder. When the Lord pulls it, it will peel off the skin. You will cry. You will cry in pain. You know why? It became part of your flesh. When the burden becomes part of my flesh, it needs a surgery. And the great divine healer, physician, he will perform a fantastic surgery with his double-edged sword. All we need to do is to go through and just say, Lord, cut it off, Lord. The Lord is waiting for you to say the word, Lord, I have seen myself in the mirror. I was wrong. Cut it off. And he will be waiting. He is waiting. But if he do not say it, he cannot do it. Because he can't go against your free will. He is righteous. He created you in his image, in his likeness. If there is no desire, if there is no submission, if there is no obedience, that double-edged sword will not circumcise our heart. Because if God forces, there is no difference between the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and the king of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ. There is no difference. There is a difference. He rules us by his love. And Pharaoh ruled people by his power. So now, in verse 27, it starts by saying, I remember the church, but verse 29, Apostle Paul says, who is weak and I am not weak? He asked the question, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? You think you are offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Not sympathy. This is the boasting Apostle Paul was addressing in the previous verse. I will glory in the glory of the Lord concerning the things that he has done through me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I praise him. I worship him. How do I glory? I praise him, I worship him, I offer everything to him with a cheerful heart, with content and with willingness. Amen? If Apostle Paul is not filled with willingness, God cannot work through him. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Because Apostle Paul said, I must speak the truth in Christ. That is where our life as a living sacrifice comes and stands in front of us. And tells us, I was wrong. Because until we admit I was wrong, we are not speaking the truth. We speak lie. God is right. Of course, that is the truth. God is good. Of course, that is the truth. God is everlasting mercy. He loves me. He's watching. Yes, let's hold on. Whatever we say, whether we say it or not, he said it. It's true. But there is one thing that he wants us to say from a very own heart to him face to face. And we won't say. Why? The flesh will tell us, escape in this route. Escape in that route. See, there is a hole. Escape from this hole to escape from something else. No. There is no escape. There is no escape. There is only submission. There is only obedience. And now, He says, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascens with garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Until the work is done, Apostle Paul was preserved by God's mighty hand, and the Lord was making the escape. Hey, hey, look at the window. Hey, David, Saul is coming to kill you. Okay, I will give some trick to Miriam. Michal, just make some covering on the bed and tell your father this is David and open the window. David will escape. It is not the right thing to do, right? Sometimes we are so stiff in our mind. Oh, it is law. It is not lawful. You must obey the king. Then David is dead on that day. What is law? There is no law against the word of God. All law, that whatever that we are allowed to go through, embrace, it is all okay to submit only if it is subject to the word of God. What if a nation comes and announces, oh, from now on, same gender can marry. Oh, can you subject to the law? No. We are not subject to that law. We are subject to the law of Jesus Christ, which is filled with the love of Jesus Christ, which is written by the truth of Jesus Christ. Anything that is outside the truth, we don't subject. We can't submit. I better say, I do not agree because I follow Jesus Christ. You do whatever you want to me. I humbly accept. I'm not going to fight you. So, there was a law to catch Paul, to put him to death. Can you say, Apostle Paul, you should obey the law. Just go and hang yourself and just get killed. But the Lord opened the window, I can escape. There is only one king, one governor, one ruler, one master. All things in heaven and all things in earth bow to him, subject to him. So my brethren, remember this. First, bow to Jesus Christ. First, subject to Jesus Christ. First, obey his word. Submit to the truth. Then everything else comes next. Seek the kingdom of God first. If we flip, the Lord has not given the provision. Then when Moses went to Egypt to bring the people of God outside of Egypt, was there any law? Two people can come, submit an application, a petition to bring people of Israel out. There was no such law. Moses was called as a rebellious man by King of Pharaoh. It's not, it's against law. There is no law that is against Jesus Christ. That is where the Lord said, in the end of times, you will be tested. By what? Principalities and power, the law and order, everything will come against Christ. Then the Lord would see, who stands for me? What we would say? Oh, if the Lord wanted me to this test, he would have given me all the provision. Let's call Apostle Paul. He would say, what provision? He is my portion. He is my provision. We are walking towards the times where everything will come against the true ministers of God. Everything. Technology, law, order, everything will come against the church of God. If we do not know what Apostle Paul did, if we don't know what David did, if we do not know what Jesus Christ did, then we might not be able to manifest and fulfill what the Lord had desired for us to fulfill. It might be given to someone. Why? It will be fulfilled for sure. Is it correct? The Lord told people of Israel, I will do this. Saul fell by being anointed king, but the Lord raised David to fulfill what he said. But David fell by killing Uriah, but God raised Solomon to fulfill. Then Solomon fell, God raised the king. Everyone fell, but the promise never, ever escaped from the fulfillment. Somehow, something happened, and the Lord showed everyone, I'm standing in the midst of my promise. Because Moses said, Joshua himself will lead you. No, but the Lord himself will cross the Jordan with you. He did not use the name of a man when he mentioned how the people will cross over Jordan. He said, the Lord himself, because I can't put the trust on any man. I can fail. Aaron can fail. Joshua can fail. Caleb can fail. Everyone can fail. But the Lord who will cross the river of Jordan with you, he cannot fail. So he put the trust on him. So now, we are in Corinthians. Now I want us to go to the book of Galatians. There is a reason why Apostle Paul was sent to Gentiles. And that reason must be found in his life, not in the prophecies about him. In his life. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. The same word meekness came before. Considering thyself, exercising thyself, denying thyself, examining thyself. Thyself. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What? Apostle Paul. If you ask me a help, ask me with humble tone, okay? Don't tell me I will be tempted. I'm not serving you. It's okay. Someone will serve him. The work of the Lord will be done with or without any man. That is how the Lord revealed himself. I look for a man to stand in the gap. I don't see any. Because God is not looking for a man. He's looking for the Son of Man. And who will give the comforter to all of us? And with the comforter, he will dwell in us. So when the Lord sees, he sees himself. Now he can do that. Now he can get things done. Without obtaining his grace, we cannot serve the Lord. Amen? What is grace? Time? Oh, is it? What if I live 240 years? Oh, let me be more greedy. Methuselah and Enoch and Adam, they all lived more than 900 years, right? Adam, 930 years. And his guy is 969 years, the longest number recorded in scripture. I always remember this. Jesus Christ began the ministry when he was about 30 years old, so 31. So if you add 969 plus 31, it's 1000. Perfect, right? I always remember this. 969, 31. Then Adam, 930. Oh, 70 years. 70th week of Daniel. Bring it 1000. Okay, Adam, 930. You see, those people lived long. Can we say Adam? He received 930 years of grace. Me, just less than 80 years. It's not fair. What is grace? What is grace? Every single second that I spent for the glory of the Lord, it is the grace of God in my life. Everything else doesn't count, does not profit. Every single second of my life that blessed me to be pruned, to grow, that pleased the Holy Ghost, that is the grace of the Lord in my life. Because God cannot base his grace on anything, on anyone, because he can't base. He's fruitful. Whatever he say, it becomes life. Whatever he do, it becomes light. So, in my life, when I turn back, everything that I did for the Lord in his sight, that pleased his spirit, that helped me to circumcise, that helped me to grow, his grace is in my life. What if I just throw the grace and do something in my own? It is not grace. It is not grace. So Apostle Paul comes and say in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He just escaped from window, from the law of men. You illegal Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says, bear ye one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. When Jesus Christ was arrested, when all the 11 disciples forsook him and fled, and one of them betrayed him, the scripture records it so explicitly, they all forsook him and fled. Who was there to stand with him to share his burden? No one should be there. You know why? The Lord says, I am the Lord, and I will not give my glory to anyone, because there is only one Savior. Amen? Jesus Christ, the only one, the Holy One, one true living God Almighty who manifested his complete word, his fullness in him. That atonement, that sacrifice, that cross, that crucifixion was to be done by himself. And he did by himself. And all the flesh we forsook and fled him. Now we can say, you know what? The only reason I ran away from him is because for him to take the glory, you know. He's the Holy One. He's the Mighty One. There is only one Savior. That's the only reason I forsook him. Nothing else. You know, I came back when you resurrected. No. When the Lord is being righteous, He is also teaching the weakness of our flesh. When the Lord is doing good things, He is also allowing us to be revealed to our bad things. And what is the bad thing? I was wrong. If all those 11 apostles did not realize I was wrong, then they could not have seated in the place where the Holy Ghost came and touched them. Preparation. Can we go to the feet washing and communion without preparing our hearts? Can we go and wash the feet of someone holding grudges against someone? It's an abomination. That's profaning what Jesus Christ did before His death. Can we partake the one bread when we are not even partaking the suffering of the church? Can I partake? How can I partake? I'm called the heavenly partakers of Christ. What the Lord is doing in our life, what the Lord is teaching in our life, where is my heart? Where is my mind? Where is my understanding? What is the reason that I have for my decisions I made? If I do not set myself right in His sight, what would happen? That is what we are seeing today. Let's continue. Verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But every man prove his own work, then shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Hallelujah. How beautifully it's unfolded, layer by layer. Every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Teacheth in all good things. Same book, chapter 5, book of Galatians, chapter 5. Verse 10. Verse 10, book of Galatians, I have confidence in you through the Lord. Let's just stop it there. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ because He gives me the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I'm weak. Apostle Paul said, we are all weak. He strengthens me. Now Apostle Paul says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. Let's write a beautiful word. Confidence in the congregation. Confidence in people of God in my life through the Lord. Not because of who you are as a person, not because of what you did to me, that is help, that is obligation, not because of whether you share the same style of food that I like, that is, you know, philia. No, not because of all of that. I have confidence in my brother, in my sister, in Christ, because of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I have confidence in Him through the Lord. I have confidence in her through the Lord. The light in my brother, in my sister, will never be put off in Jesus' name. When you have the confidence, let's say the enemy is going to some brother or some sister and deceiving them, and they are trying to destroy the light, and the light is not put off, and enemy goes to the Lord and asks, Lord, what's happening? He has forsaken you. He has spoken bad things about you. He has done everything against you. Let me go and put off the light. And the Lord would say, someone is standing in the gap for this sister, for this brother. So if he goes there, and that someone is shielded by someone, he goes there, someone shielded by someone, then he realized this church is a single stone. Single stone. Not multiple stones sitting together. Single stones united by the mortar. Jesus Christ. Confidence in the people of God through the Lord. If we lose it, offense will sit in the throne of your heart. When you lose confidence, we gain offense. Remember this. When you lose confidence, we gain offense. When we gain affirmance, we lose assurance. When we lose assurance, we embrace weariness. When we embrace weariness, then sadness will come and dance. Then depression will sing songs. Then isolation will be the fruit of it. Apostle Paul is speaking the words of life that can enlighten our heart. Do I have the mirror? I was wrong. Because he had that mirror. Every servant of God, they had the mirror. And that mirror blessed them to be rooted, to be grounded. Now, what he says in chapter 5, verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. Hey, who are you to tell them that I have confidence that you will not go wrong? No, he says, I have confidence in the Lord who is in you. He will make you to see it through. He will bless your life to be a victorious life. I can claim the promise for you because we are one body of Christ. I'm supposed to carry 10 kilograms. My left hand is broken, but the right hand I can carry 10. Because the Lord is my strength. When I am broken, the left hand will carry 10. Because the Lord is my strength, my sister's strength, my brother's strength. I must claim the strength. I must claim the promise. I must claim the healing. I must claim the deliverance. I must claim the restoration. Not to beg, claim. Abraham said 300. For what? To claim Lot from the hands of enemy. He was asking permission. He sent 300. Told them, just go and bring my loved brother. And Lot was brought up. The same Abraham was standing in his place, not moving one front forward, one step forward. When the two angels were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham looked ahead, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He knows Lot was inside. But this time, he did not have any plans to send 300. He did not have any request. Can I come with you? He knows the Lord is going. I'm just standing. Be still and know that I am God. He saw Lot was walking alive. Sometimes we tell the Lord, let me come with you. You may need my help. Learn from Abraham. When Abraham had to work, he sent 300. When God was working, Abraham was quiet. Isn't it? He sent 300 when he was supposed to send 300. Brought Lot. And he was standing firm, staying quiet when the Lord sent the two. How Abraham discerned? The Spirit of the Lord was resting upon him. So now, verse 11, verse 10, that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever be. And this verse, my brethren, always have a permanent scar in your heart. We wrestle not against flesh and blood in Jesus' name. The Lord wants all to be saved. The Lord wants all to enter into heaven. But yet many are called, few are chosen. Not for us to choose. It's for him to decide. But for us to have the desire. Lord, I want everyone to be saved. Oh, the enemies of Pharaoh, the chariots of Pharaoh are chasing me. Lord, can you please touch them? This guy, he is throwing arrows at me, scratching me with a sword. Can you please touch him? Can you please touch him? Because he can heal my back. But can he heal his heart? Love thy enemies. Why? It's not the soldier who was the enemy. It's the king of Pharaoh, the principality, the system, the power that is sending him to kill the people of Israel. The true enemy is the yoke of the thought, and the Lord will destroy the yoke. Once the thought is destroyed, thy brother, thy sister is revealed unto thee. Whoa, what a sweet version, what a beautiful, lovely version of my loved one. Until the day you wait without giving upon him. Without giving upon her. They can be in some other religion. They can be the one who are atheists, even those who profane the name of the Lord. My brethren, until you don't lose hope, you can hold the hope for him. You can hold the torch for her. Don't drop it. Don't tell, let the Lord deal with him. That is not the word that can come from the mouth of God's children. No. Lord, I stand for this brother, this sister. I stand. That is the word Apostle Paul is teaching us. Stand and fight. We don't run and hide. Because we are called the soldiers of Christ, equipped with the armor of David, called to go into the valley and face the Goliath and tell him, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, here it says, And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? He's asking a question. Then he says, a beautiful, powerful statement that the Lord blessed me last night, which is the reason I'm preaching on this today. That one single statement, I was like, Lord, what is this? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Wow. What? Offense of the cross ceased. Every time we hear the word cease, we know, oh, cease not and pray. Watch and pray. Pray always. Offense of the cross ceased. How? And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. This is the mirror that we are talking. Do not use the liberty for the occasion for the flesh to escape. Oh, Spirit of the God is liberty. Oh, there is a liberty for flesh also. Let me escape. Don't let your flesh escape. Contain it. We are called as the prisoners of Christ. The Lord will take it off. He will throw it far away from the holy sanctuary. But for us, we are called the bond servants of Christ. Amen? Our hands are tied by His love for what He did on Calvary. He says, not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Wow. I thought, I have a huge power in me. No one can snatch the children of God from His mighty hand. But look at the verse. If ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. Hey, this verse is not applicable to me because I am inside the mighty hand of God, you know. No one can snatch me away from the hand of God, you know. And the Lord says, thou knowest not. The Lord is speaking. The word bite is often referred to snake. Poisonous bite of a poisonous snake. The word devour is often referred to the adversary. Roaming like a ravening lion to devour the prey. Devourer, right? Biting, devouring, both are not representing the Son of Man. That doesn't represent the divine nature, but that only talks about the serpentine nature. Serpent bites and the beast devours, isn't it? And the Lord says, if you bite, if you devour, you would end up in consuming one another because I'm not standing in the midst of you. Biting, devouring, what is it? Why Apostle Paul linked it to this word, offense of the cross? This verse should be etched in our heart. Do I have anything in my heart that tells this word come to life? Do we want this? The shame that he endured, the affront that he received, people spat on him. Let's think about deeply. The very first verse of today's sermon, it says, he seated the glorious Jesus Christ. Everything was given to him. All things in heaven, all things in earth. He holds the power and dominion and authority over all things. The flesh spat on him, slapped him, smote him on his head, stripped him naked, devoured his flesh, and yet he endured. Please tell me where your offense stands compared to his. Where is the name of the Lord glorified? Where is the salvation of soul is revealed? Where is the manifestation of God's word is proclaimed compared to what he did on the cross? Now, I want us to go to Book of Philippians, and now we are going to hold the hand of Jesus Christ in the Book of Gospels. Let's see what the teacher of the teacher Apostle Paul said, because he is the greatest teacher of all. Amen. And he is the greatest prophet of all, greatest apostle of all. He is the fountain of life. All the good teachings comes from him. Which means he might have said something by which Apostle Paul was inspired. Amen? So, one verse, Book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 1. Verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Oh Lord, please. I prefer to use the word without blame, without spot. It's good. But Apostle Paul says, make sure you stand in front of him without offense in your heart. If you do so, you despise the cross of Calvary. Apostle Paul is speaking. Till the day of his coming, are we prepared? Are we washed? Are we asking the Lord? And the Lord says, what is that you want? And we say, you know before what I pray. But I look at your prayer, but your prayer just about yourself. I could not glorify my name in your prayer. And he says, Lord, let me examine myself. Lord, these are the things that I'm trying to overcome. And the Lord would say, now we talk business. 7 days the Lord allowed David to pray in sackcloth. For what? Anyway, the child is going to be taken. The fruit of the flesh is going to be taken. But 7 days the Lord refined him, purified him, before he can be worthy of a father to give birth to Solomon the wisdom, who will finish the temple of the Lord. And we must be worthy to live a life worthy of his calling, for the wisdom of the Lord to come into my heart, to transform my heart, to be the temple of the Lord. It's the same. It's the same. And he says in verse 10, without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Now, the name of Jesus Christ has opened the door for us to go to Book of the Gospels. Amen. Let's go to Gospels. Let's hear from the fountain of life. The one who never speaks anything other than the truth. The whole truth. Blessed be his holy name. Chapter 24. Brother Clement, read this for us. From verse 3 to verse 14. Chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 3 to 14.
Matthew 24, verse 3 to 14. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, for the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Please be seated. Verse 10. Verse 10.
24, verse 10. And then shall many be offended. Many are called. That is the only verse always come to my heart. Whenever I hear the word many, many are called. Many are called. And Jesus says, many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Do you see a sequence here? There is a sequence. Beautiful sequence. Step one, offense. Step two, betrayal. Step three, hatred. Oh, brother, no, we don't hate anyone. When there is no love, it is hatred. And God told Moses, bring the people of Israel to this mount and tell them, today is the day I place a blessing on one side, curse on one side. Amen? There is nothing in between, which is a mix of blessing and curse. Either A or nay. Day or night. Light or darkness. Life or death. Jesus or everything else. So Jesus says, in those days, in the times of end, because of knowledge, because of revelation, because of his goodness, his mercy, everything is revealed. The hunger and thirst will disappear. Offense will take place. For what? If our life is a mirror, offense is a stone. And the enemy throws one single stone and the entire mirror is cracked. But the problem is, why be there like a mirror in the first place? Because the Lord wants you to break once to understand how weak you are, and he put you back together, and this time you are not a mirror. He clothed you with the armor of righteousness. Iron, forced to the fire of Holy Ghost. Tell me, which stone can penetrate the armor of David? Is there any arrow that can penetrate the breastplate of righteousness? None. Hezekiah was standing, praying. Sennacherib sent Rabshakeh. Many thousands of archers aiming to release the arrow to the city. And the Lord said one single word. Not even a single arrow will land the city. What a powerful statement. And Hezekiah would look at, I don't think so. The moment Hezekiah thinks, I don't think so, all the arrows will come to his head. Why? Promise of God is only for those who obey and believe. It's not for those who doubt and wait. The Lord said, and I say, in Jesus' name, let it be. Amen. Then all the archers aim the arrow and all the strings cut off. Or even before they release the arrow, the angel of the Lord will come and smote all of them, eliminated. That is how the book of Scripture says. Nothing shall stand, nothing shall come to pass. Against what? The perfect will of God, not the free will of man. Everything will come against the free will, everything will come to pass against the free will. If we don't want anything to come against us, wickedness, darkness, we must make sure I am under the shadow of the perfect will. Because the name of the Lord is given to all of us to do his will. Not for us to use it as an emergency shelter in terms of natural disasters and go back to the world again, waiting for another disaster and run back to the shelter. It's not emergency responses, shelters. There is no other house that we can live other than his name. Offense brings forth betrayal. Betrayal brings forth hatred. But these three step sequence will result in the most painful step, which is separation and isolation. When that happens, we are cut open for the beast. And the beast would say, did you just come alone to fight with me? Where is your faith? I can fight. I can fight. I know the truth. I'm baptized in Jesus' name. My brethren, when you do things against the word of God, do you really think that we can claim the power of God? I ask again. When you do things against the word of God, can we still claim the power of the word of God? We cannot. Because I compromised the word of God, I removed something, or I added something. Because of that, I cannot claim the power of God. It has to be as it is. Truth, nothing but the whole truth, in order for me to claim the power. So Apostle Paul says, offense will lead in betrayal and lead in hatred. Last Sunday I said, in the house of God, there are only two things can happen. Denial, betrayal. Peter denied Christ, Judas betrayed Christ. Both of them, they were in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is speaking to all of them, including the people. He's warning
He is telling us a trick, the deceptive twist of the enemy that will make you to lose the confidence in your family members. Earthly, heavenly, strangers whom you see in the office. The enemy will say, this guy cannot receive Jesus' name. It's devil speaking to you. Book of Ecclesiastes. So beautiful, right? Sometimes I just want to spend time in the book of Ecclesiastes and Proverbs for day and night. Because it's full of richness, full of wisdom. One single verse can take you throughout the night. I was like, Lord, how come you gave this much wisdom to Solomon? The Lord was blessing my heart. Who is Solomon? What is wisdom? Talk to me, what is wisdom? The one who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he offered sacrifices to Astaroth. Then why are you carrying the Bible in your hands now? The one who wrote the book of Proverbs, he had 1,000 women for his pleasure. Then why are you touching the book that was written by a filthy evil man? The one who wrote Psalms, he killed Uriah, the righteous man. He's a murderer. His name is David. And why are we singing songs? So we are okay. If those people do something, fail something, come back something, we are okay to praise the Lord. But if the same thing happens in our life, no. I will hold on to my offense until the last breath of my life. And we sing the song, Jesus Christ, you are my life. And the Lord says, do not despise my cross. My brethren, let's ask ourselves. Every time your relatives, your family, workers, strangers, anyone who literally wounded your heart, whoever it may be, a man or woman, a boy or a girl, a child or a grandparent or a grandmother, anyone, did they offer sacrifice to Astaroth? No. Did they kill Uriah? No. Did they marry 1,000 women and showing, boasting their power and jewel? No. Then how come you rejoice in Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Psalms, but you cannot rejoice the song of salvation that is being written in the book of that brother, in the book of that sister, written by Jesus Christ, who is holy, righteous, better than David, better than Ecclesiastes, better than Solomon? Why can't we hold on to the confidence? Because offense is a result of pride. Nothing else. Offense is the result of pride, which is the biggest of all. If pride is a root, offense is a fruit. That's it. We can jump here and there, we can roll down on the floor, we can scream, we can shout, but the truth is truth. Offense is a fruit of pride. The Bible says it louder. And that is why God told Moses, there is no servant on the face of the earth like my servant Moses. He's humble. Why? The Lord knows, if I use a pride vessel, God cannot fulfill his work. So God used a broken vessel that is humble for the rest of his life, and then he worked on him. You know why? God has hope. This vessel, I can get it done. Apostle Paul, this guy, he's broken, humble by witnessing Stephen, by performing his mistakes. He's broken, humble. I can fulfill my work in this vessel. And that is the reason Apostle Paul is speaking louder. The power of the church, the power of family of God, would be limited if offense is moving here like a snake, like the vipers biting the feet. Remember? And Moses said, look at the brazen serpent that is on the pole. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. My sin, my iniquity, my shame, and also the sin and shame and iniquity of my brother, my sister, my family, my relative who do not know the Lord. It's okay. The problem is we have a different weighing scale. Those who know the Lord, those who don't know the Lord. Who are we? How do we weigh? Which weighing scale we have? There is only one who has a weighing scale. He will come with a fan. Those who know the Lord, those who don't know the Lord. In sight of the Lord, my children, my children. Why? The truth is will be revealed to them in his time. Who are we? And what is our role? What is our job? What is our responsibility? Do I allow myself to be fully utilized for the glory of the Lord? To be fully used for the salvation of souls? There are people dying from the building in this land. You all know, right? There are children suffer with depression. You all know, right? Autism. Painful to see in the bus. 30-year-old child. 40-year-old child. And when I saw the face of the mother, my heart breaks. Lord, what we should do? That question should burn like a fire. He won't come and answer until he sees the fire of the desire. Then he will come and say, let's go. Let's talk business, yeah? We do what we should do. Until then, he has no business. What business? So now, if the offense of the cross can be seized by my life, if the offense of my flesh can result into betrayal and hatred, what is betrayal? What is betrayal? Judas left Jesus and chose some people who received him. That is betrayal. Why? Because Jesus spoke very harsh words. Isn't it? Matthew 13:57. Let's turn our Bibles. Book of Matthew, chapter 13:57. Chapter 13:57. And they were offended in him. In who? In Jesus Christ himself. Wow. And they were walking with Jesus Christ. And the Lord allowed this to be recorded. And they were offended in him who came to die for them, who came to serve them, who came to wash their feet, who came to embrace the shame, who came to be smote in the head and spat on the face and stripped naked for them. And they were offended in him. Why? Because he did not say what they wanted to hear. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And the sheep say, my shepherd will speak what I want. No. That is wolf. And Jesus says, but Jesus unto him, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. He's speaking about himself. Because they are so familiar with him. Oh, this Jesus, son of Mary, right? He was playing on the mountain, very naughty when he was 12 years old, arguing with the people in the temple. That Jesus, right? I'll let him crucify him. Let's turn our Bibles. John chapter 6. Book of John. Gospel of John. I love John. The silent disciples who waited for his very exceedingly great reward of fruit in that island of Patmos for Revelation. He was silent throughout this time. Peter's name was addressed everywhere. Apostolic ministry. Peter and John went. Peter spoke. Apostle Paul spoke. But John was quiet. The revelation of Jesus Christ was given to the apostle. What a beautiful example of patience. John chapter 6, verse 60. Yes. So now, our Lord and Savior, he unfolds the word, the description or the meaning of the hidden word offense. There is a meaning to it. In other translation, it is not mentioned as offense. There is a different word which I will speak now. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, that this offend you, he asked a question. It's like, do you love me? It's like, do you follow me? Do you believe in me? Do you trust me? Do you want to carry the cross for me? And does this offend you? Jesus asked, who? The one who told them, come and follow me, was a commandment. But now, he did not say, don't be offended. He said, does this offend you? Because you have the right to do so. The Lord says, you have the right to do so. You have the power to do so. Exercise your free will up to you. Does it offend you? Question mark, because we are created in his image and in his likeness. Then he says, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What will he do? So are you so angry because I'm with you? What if I disappear from you? What you will complain? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That is why Apostle Paul always used the word nothing, 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 to the point whereby all the Jews were around him, they were looking for stone to kill him. How dare you? Every time he used the word nothing. Do we look like nothing to you? Apostle Paul said, no, I didn't mean that. The Lord says, it will profit us nothing if we are not careful. And Jesus said the same thing. He says, flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Wow. You want to see the spirit of God. The words Jesus spoken unto you, the Lord says, they are all spirit. If ye are spiritual, be in my word. Do my word. And they are life. This is the answer. What is this life? And the Lord says, they are life. Who are life? I am life. The Lord says, they are life. The words I spoke are life. If you are all the words of the Lord, then what is life to me? If Jesus is my life, you are all my life. I am part of your life. Understand, when the Lord said, you are the part of the word. So what the enemy wants? Separate him. Remove her. Separate him. Now no power. Yes. That's what I wanted. That's what he wanted. Nothing should separate the children of God from his love. When the offense of the cross is compromised, the love of the Lord is compromised. When the love of the Lord is compromised, everything is possible. Any separation possible. Everything can separate us, isolate us. The scripture cannot be fulfilled to our own liking. We are called to fulfill the scripture to the Lord's liking. Amen? Now, he says, but there are some of you that believe not. Many are called, few are chosen. The same thing happened to Apostle Paul as well. When he preached the baptism in Jesus' name, some mocked at him and some believed not. And they told him, let's hear of this matter some other time. Because they have complete control of grace. They can choose the grace how to be used as investors. What a shame. We don't even know whether we will see tomorrow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is grace. And he says, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From the time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Hallelujah. He didn't say anything wrong. He simply said, my dear children, this is the truth. And when he said that, many of them who were following Jesus, they were offended. They decided, I'm not going to walk with you anymore. Did he stop speaking? Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Wow. First question, does this offend you? Second question, will you also go away? Is there anyone who can teach better than him? What he asked? Will you also go away, which means fall away. So, what is the meaning of offense? The fruit the enemy wants to achieve. The Lord said, Ananias, go thy way. Doesn't mean, he did not say, just get off from me. No, he said, go thy way. I am your way. Go and focus on what I called you to fulfill. Don't complain about Apostle Paul. I'm taking care of him, right? Because Ananias was very angry when the Lord told him, I am going to use Apostle Paul to be suffering for me. The people talk about him, he's persecuting the church. And God said, go thy way. Samuel did the same complaint. Well, why David? What about the first time? The Lord said, go thy way. Why did he go thy way? We are the people of the way. There is no other way for us other than Jesus Christ. When the Lord himself telling us, go thy way, which means we came some other way. And he met us outside the temple. And he's telling all of us, hey, go thy way. I am the way. You know where to go. You know exactly where you should be. And you know exactly where you should go. Go thy way. Then we say, Lord, I am thine, O Lord. Or is it, then thy way is my way. Then I am your way. Then come to me. Now the Lord says, will you also go away? It's a question. All the 12 apostles answered yes. They said yes, right? They all forsook and fled him. So Jesus warned them, when they arrest me, one among you will bring the soldiers with so much mighty weapons in their hand and I will tell them, they will ask me, who is Jesus? I will tell them, I am he. Everybody will be scared of me, will fall to the ground, to the face of the ground. Then I'll tell them, get up, come and arrest me. But yet, after even seeing this, you will all run away from me. It happened, right? They all forsook him and fled. He was alone. And Jesus said, does this offend you? Will you also go away? He said, and they did. Because the Lord knows what will happen when faith is compromised, when love is compromised, when confidence is compromised. He knows the result of it. Now what he says in Luke 9. Luke 9. Luke 9. Chapter 9, and I want us to focus on the way Jesus spoke to the disciples and how come they carried themselves, continue to work with him. Verse 51, chapter 9, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Who? Your shepherd, the head of the church, Jesus Christ. He had a purpose. He set his face on something. He had a purpose. And sent messengers before his face. What? All things will be all right when we see his face. Amen? And the Lord said, he set his face steadfastly on a purpose, on a cause, on a will that he's going to fulfill. But he sent his messengers before his face. So before we see the face, the Lord sent his messengers, his children, his people, his servants, his soldiers, who can reflect the face of Christ to people. That is how Jesus looked like. That is how Jesus loves me. That is how Jesus holds on righteousness. So he sent people to reflect him. But what they did, they messed up miserably. They profaned his name miserably. By how? And they went and entered into the village of Samaritans and to make ready for him. So they thought, hey, we are sent to prepare the way. Do you know who we are? We are from the discipleship company of Jesus Christ. And he sent all of us for an overseas job. And we are in Samaritan. All the people of the village, you better behave, okay? You don't know who we are. They went in that mindset. But the Lord sent them to wash their feet. And verse 53, and they did not receive him, because his face was as though as he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Lord, you know, our forefather, you know, the gangster, Prophet Elijah, someone came, just called him, we just come for an invitation, and he brought fire, killed 50, just burnt them, was waiting. Then another group came, captain of 50. He also burnt them, then showing his power, waiting. At the end, he met the king anyway. The Lord is thinking, anyway you are going to meet the king, why did you burn two groups of people? Is it like a fruitless burning process? No, the Lord might have caused some judgment upon those 100 in his own will. None of us know. But what was done was not done in a way it was supposed to be done. Because God told Elijah, are you scared? Hey, what do you mean I'm scared? I just burned 50 people. Oh, 50 plus 1. 51. 51. 102 burned on my side. You are telling me I'm scared. And the Lord says, yes, you are scared. You would not have burned them if you were not scared. Aggression, violence, anger is a self-defense mechanism of flesh when you are extremely scared. Yes. That's what the Lord said. If you have my peace, you won't react. People will call you, are you dead? Oh yes, dead to flesh. Deep inside, I'm dancing, but you won't see it. The Lord wants us to reach that state. And the disciples were so angry. Nothing was correct. Everything was wrong. We are going to bring down the fire and burn the Lord. I think there is no way this group will improve. There is no way this group will glorify your name. It is done. What is called gone case. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked at them. And when he looked at them, the Bible says very beautifully, he turned. Verse 55. But he turned, which means whatever they did, whatever they said, they were not doing in his faith, in his will. They were turned aside like the wife of Lot. And the Lord turned to them and said, what he said? He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now I want all of us to remember ourselves in the shoes of those disciples. And the whole multitude of Samaritans is looking at us. And they despise us. And we say, Lord, just give us the permission. We will just burn them all. Just clean the city. And then the Lord looks at all of us, speaks louder, that the whole village hears us. And the Lord says, you do not know what manner of spirit ye are of. Imagine what the disciples will think when the whole people are witnessing it. The people will say, you talked about Jesus. You said the Lord sent you. You said this parable, that parable. You explained this doctrine, that doctrine. You said that, this and that. You showed so much knowledge. But the Lord just looked at you and he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. Then where is your testimony? Lord, how can we trust them? The testimony of Jesus was compromised for a moment of madness, a moment of anger. And the Lord told them, you do not know which man of spirit you are, because you are created in his image, in his likeness. Apostle Paul says, even for the prophets, the spirits of the prophet subject to the prophet. And he told the watchman Ezekiel, hey prophet, yes Lord, son of man, prophesy. Son of man, prophesy. If prophecy is under complete control of God, then why the Lord is asking Ezekiel, prophesy? Because Ezekiel says, I'm not doing it. I have no faith in you. Spirits of the prophet, subject to the prophet, right? Now come back to us. The word that is inside the part of the word, it is up to the part of the word to decide whether you're going to exercise or not. You can choose to ignore. You can choose to betray. And Jesus told the disciples, that is not my will. I set my face on Jerusalem and you set to burn Samaria. They could not understand the will of God. Why? They had a different expectation. Hey, John, Peter, James, we all go and do something. And we will see the entire village being baptized. And we come to the Lord and say, Lord, we just saved 7,000 souls. Let's take a selfie. Nothing happened. No fairy tale ending. In the end, they were rebuked by the Lord. The Lord said, you did not do what I told you to do. Disciples. Now let's go and read what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 to 11. So, Brother Clement, please read for us. Matthew 18, verse 1 to 11.
Matthew 18, 1 to 11. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I said to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it up, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heavens their angels always see the face of my Father.
Amen.
Who is in heaven.
Amen.
For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Please be seated. Let's look at the verse. Verse 6. But who shall offend one of these little ones? Are we the little ones? The Lord called us little children. Zacchaeus was small in stature, right? Little stature. He was of little stature. Because of that, he could not see Jesus. Why? There were tall flesh of people hiding Jesus coming, and he was small in stature. He was looking for a higher ground, a tree where he can hold on to the tree, and the tree should not break of his weight, correct? He can't climb on a plant. It must be a tree. The stem and the branch should carry his weight. Someone who can carry the weight of Zacchaeus, he climbed the tree, and that must have been a branch for him to sit on the branch, for him to see Jesus coming, waiting, expecting, like how Rebecca was sitting on the camel looking for Isaac. And then Jesus Christ saw Zacchaeus, he told him, come down. And we tell the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, come down. We look up to heaven, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. The bride is waiting, come and marry me. And Jesus told Zacchaeus, come down. I want to eat in your house. I want to abide at thy house. So Zacchaeus did something which made the Lord to tell him, I must. He did not say, do you want me to come to house? He did not give him a choice. He told him, I must bless you. You did the work. I will give the crown of glory. When we are called to spiritually be seated on the branch that stems out of the root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, who is the branch? His name is the branch. Amen? His name is the tree of life. And he is the root of our faith. He is all in all. The root, the branch, the vine, the fruit of the Holy Ghost, also him. And when we sit on the branch as a fruit, don't you see, in that sycamore tree, Jesus saw a branch and there's a fruit hanging. What's the fruit? A little Zacchaeus. Oh, my fruit, come, let me eat you. You eat me. And the book of Revelation, the Lord says in chapter 3, I will sup in him and he will in me. And we say bread of life. If I am not the bread of life for my brother, if I am not the bread of life for my sister, if I am not the bread of life for my stranger, if they cannot eat me, then I must do something for me to become eatable. You know what called eatable? Not expired food, eatable. We must become eatable. We must become drinkable, reachable, accessible for people to come approach us, hug us. There should be some closeness, amen? That can call people, come. Oh, any problem, call me. I'm here for you. What if we tell, I have a lot of friends, a lot of visitors, but when they go through suffering and pain, but nobody call us. Who made this gap? How come there is a gap created? So now you look at what the Lord says. If it were better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Remember this verse. Chapter 18, verse 6. 6 represents man. So easily remember. Every time, if I tell myself I am offended, I pray this verse come to our face and tell us. And the Lord is calling us, my little child, who is offended you? It is better for him that I put a stone around his neck, throw into the sea. Tell me who, what would you say? Huh. Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. How can I throw my brother into the sea? How can I throw my sister into the sea? I wrestle not against flesh and blood. But throw that spiritual wickedness, the high places, the darkness into the sea. He will do it in the lake of fire. And who is the stone, the stumbling stone? What is his name? Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, Matthew 11:6, yes. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He did not say offended by others. Which means I have to reflect upon the Lord. If the Lord is in my brother, in my sister, in the church, in the family, in the people whom they are not saved yet, the Lord can still be in them. The Lord called me, do not be offended in me. If I am the temple of Holy Ghost, how can I be offended in you? You are the temple of Holy Ghost. I cannot. I just focus on the flesh that is going on pruning in me. And I am seeing the flesh that is going on in a pruning process in you. And I pray for you. You pray for me. But the love that is between you and me is intact.
If not, the Lord says, ye bite one another, ye devour one another, and ye shall consume one another, then what is feet washing? What is communion? So now, he says, Jesus Christ, he says, woe unto the world because of offenses. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Matthew 11:6, blessed is he who is not offended in me. So the question is, when the Lord says one single word, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Okay, now we say, we challenge God. Okay, Lord, what if I am offended in you? Then the verse flips. Cursed is he who is offended in me. What would you say? That is too harsh. That is no way. My brethren, either blessing or curse. Either Jesus Christ or everything else. Either life or death. Either heaven or hell. That's it. Nothing in between. The Lord says, he wants all of us to be blessed. And he wants all of us to be in him. So what the Lord says, it is impossible for us to face a life without offenses. It will all come, but it is possible for you to hide in me. When I hide in him, often someone knocks the door and I tell it, wrong address. Sorry, wrong address. Check the postal code. My postal code is zero. I am nothing. He is everything. Don't knock the door. He's sitting inside. He will come and burn you. He will burn the wickedness. And that mail will not be delivered. And your heart is free. So when the Lord says, woe unto the world full of offenses, he is cursing, right? In the book of Revelation, do you know how many times the word woe was uttered by the horsemen, by the angels, by the one who pour out the vials of wrath? They will keep on telling woe, woe, woe. Why? Jesus said, and they do. We don't want to be part of the woe. We want to be part of the whole. Praise the Lord. We want to be part of that excitement, that joy. And he says, for it must needs be that offenses come. Because the Lord says, it must. I love the scripture. He told Zacchaeus, let's say, Brother Clement, I must come to your house. Brother Clement, hi, good. Let's have a good fellowship. Then I say, Brother Clement, often must come to your house. So what? Speak life. You hypocrite. On one side, blessing. On one side, offense. But Jesus said, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. It will come for sure. But the Lord says it's part of the exercise. How he trains us. He is giving us exercise so that we can run back to him, hide in him. We can run back to him, hide in him. He says, Lord, are you offended? You are exposed. Run back to the strong shelter. Are you hurt? You are sensitive. Run back to the armor of righteousness. And he says, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. He is not cursing any man or any woman. By sin, death entered. Amen? And by the offense of one, death entered. And by the defense of one, salvation entered. So now I ask you, among these three words, which word you like? Offense, confidence, or defense? The Lord said, Nehemiah, build the wall. For what? Just defend my people from the arrows of enemy. Amen? But the walls are so tall. Archers could not reach the height of the wall. It was so high. And the Lord called the people of God, build the wall for me, for my house. For every one of us, and hit the cloud, the Shekinah glory. When that happens, offense must come, but cannot penetrate. We are all the stones one another, forming the wall of Christ. That offense will not enter. If it enters, that arrow will fall into the ground. Like what happened to Aaron and the false prophets of Pharaoh? They throw the staff, and the staff became what? Snake. Correct? The staff fell to the ground, became a snake. If the enemy throw an arrow, it'll come and fall into the ground of the church. It becomes a viper. Will go and hide everyone, bite everyone's feet, bite everyone's life, and try to devour their life. And the Lord said, look unto me, we will all be healed, and he will burn down those things that caused offense. Because why? He said, woe. When the Lord said, woe, my brethren, it is gone, done, destroyed. So we must claim the promised victory from there. Amen? Last verse as I close. Let's all stand. We will continue next week by the God's grace. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Can't imagine what Apostle Peter went through before he became apostle. The friend of Christ, the disciple of Christ, the follower of Christ. In front of the disciples, in front of the people, the way the Lord taught him may sound extremely harsh, but my brethren, it's part of the healings, parts of the prophecies of fulfillment. Chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So he's speaking of his purpose. Then Peter took him, which means he took him. Come, I want to speak to you. And began to rebuke him. Read it again. Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke Jesus. Can you believe? Apostle Paul took Peter and Apostle Paul rebuked Peter. Was it Apostle Paul? Do you really think was it Apostle Paul? Can apostles work without the function of Holy Ghost? Peter took Jesus and rebuked him. And what he said? Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, what do you mean by turn? I thought Peter took Jesus. Every time you see the word Jesus turn, it means whatever was happening was not aligned to his will. So he had to turn in his everlasting mercy to show mercy, or else he could keep his eyes fixed on his job. If he don't see his life, we are gone. He turned in his everlasting mercy. And what he said? Oh, my dear Peter. No. What he said? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Finally, someone comes and talk about offense, and that offense, my brethren, is the only thing that we are all should be concerned of. And he says, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, with this verse, we will continue next Sunday, but I want all of us to reflect what we learn. Please look at this. Confidence of us in the people of God, in the ministry of God, in the work of God, service of God, worship of God, prayer of God, Sundays, anything that is about the God, the service to God. If we lack confidence, there is a compromise has been made in your heart. We cannot lose confidence because that confidence through the Lord, that is our defense to resist the devil. And when it happens, that offense leads into betrayal. I betray my brother. I betray my sister. I betray all the things. And I run. And because of that, the hatred will enter into my heart. We may say, I don't hate anyone. No, thank the Lord for reminding me. Some of my relatives whom I truly love, there are families who are separated. I actually went to make peace. And they said, because of this uncle, this aunt, I am not coming to the house. I stand at the altar. I speak in truth in Jesus' name. That uncle died of a car crash. That aunt died of pneumonia in the same year. It's 2025. It's been 9 years. Still, they did not enter the house. So what they told me was a lie. Because they said all their actions caused because of this man, this woman, and the Lord took that man, that woman, but still they could not overcome. So what is the root cause? Which means that is not the truth. The truth shall set you free. The power of anointing shall destroy the yoke. Offense is a rope, it's a chain. If I take the loveless word, you don't swing. You say, Lord, swing it now. I am in the living sacrifice as the altar of sacrifice. Cut it now. He will cut it. When you do so, the betrayal is gone. Hatred is gone. Offense is gone. Confidence is back. Then I don't despise the cross because he took everything for me. And now Jesus told Peter, give no offense that the ministry is not blamed. Give no offense that the ministry is not blamed. Spoken by Apostle Peter in the book of Corinthians.
Now, when the Lord looked at Peter, Peter said something that blamed his ministry. He was called to be crucified. He was called to die. Peter was coming and testing his flesh, tempting him. It's not Peter. When Jesus Christ was tempted in the 40 days of wilderness, the Satan, the Bible says, he left him for a season. Amen? Remember the word? He could not overcome him. He left him for a season for what? You have 12 vessels, right? I will come over them. I will take a hitch ride, will come and disturb you. Then Jesus said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are in. Remember? For a Samaritan village. And now he told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He is not destroying Peter. He is delivering Peter, redeeming Peter, restoring Peter, healing Peter, warning Peter from the hitch ride, the plague that is upon his shoulder, that can spread across the house, that can destroy him. And the Lord delivered him. Run away. You are not the Peter I know. My Peter will die for me upside down. That is my Peter. And he said, thou art an offense to me. Not Peter. The one behind Peter. Not the flesh and blood. The one behind the flesh and blood. I pray the Lord bless all of us to open our eyes. That we are all delivered, redeemed, restored, renewed. That our fight is not the people, is the one who torments the people, the enemy, the wickedness, the flesh. And we fight against that battle. If not, the cross will be seized. The offense of the cross will be compromised in our life. And we do not want to become an offense to the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, my brethren, we have come a long way, the church. How many years of pain, sacrifice? How many years of steadfast sincerity? Not from every one of us. Sometimes we became insincere. Some rose up as sincere. We were all covering one another like the builders of the wall. When I was sleeping, you were awake. When you were sleeping, I was awake. When I ran, you stood. When you stood, I ran. We all made so many ups and downs, valleys and mountains. But together, the Lord kept the flame of the temple. We are nothing without one another. Amen? This ministry is a seed thrown into the land. It will bring its garden. But if we are not prepared, it will not bring the garden. And the Lord would prepare us for the feet washing communion. But if I am not worthy of feet washing communion, the Lord would not prepare us for the feet washing communion. And when I was praying, the Lord said, destroy offense in my name, for my confidence to be restored for the glory of my name. Only then the blessed assurance can be claimed for the glory of this land. And we will do it together. Amen. Our battle is not against flesh. Our battle against the enemy. And he will see us through. Amen? God bless you all. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, you carried the cross for what I did. You embraced the same. The shame of my sins, my iniquities. You embraced all of it for what I did. And Lord, you spoke the truth in a way it was supposed to be spoken. Because, O Lord, you do not know other than how to speak in truth. Because you are the truth. And Lord, we pray, let there be a or nay in our heart. A to all things of God, the deep things of God. Nay to all the old things of man, the old things of woman in my life. Because, O Lord, you have given everything for us. It is the time for us to give everything back to you, our life. Let there be confidence restored in Jesus' name. And everything that is tormenting, that is hurting all the vipers, that is biting the feet, and that feet was called to shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, all those vipers. We do not have to go and fight with the vipers, because Moses said, just lift up your head, look at Jesus Christ who was crucified for you. And those vipers will become powerless. They'll become the worms of the sand. They'll be crushed by the feet, the beautiful feet of the people of God. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. May you send the times of refreshing. May you send the seasons of refreshing. It is enough that we are all fighting the vipers. But Lord, it is the time for us to look at the souls, the salvation, the harvest, the reap of your harvest, and what we must do, preparation of our hearts. Let there be a blessed divine gathering of communion and feet washing for the glorification of your name, O Lord. May you prepare our heart, bring all our loved ones in Jesus' name.
every door that was shut by the flesh in Jesus' name as a family of God, we open it. Every door of blessing that was shut, that was supposed to be a blessing to our loved ones, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, oh Lord, we open it. And every dose of curse and sickness and weakness and weariness and isolation and pain and separation, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, we break it. Because, oh Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthen us. Come, oh Lord, come and abide in our house that we do your will. In Jesus' name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord. Amen.